Welcome to the Feast of Tabernacles review on YahvehYahweh.name. We had a Feast of Tabernacles in Oregon in 2015 that was just superb. We met with five different groups and a beautiful time reading the scriptures, singing, walking, and leaping, and praising Yah, and praying for one another. We're going to start out in the book of Ezra there this afternoon. My main emphasis is about summer's beauty at the Feast of Sukkot, the Feast of Booths. This is a type of heaven with our Messiah. And much of Sukkot can be found in the book of Yeshayahu or Isaiah, but it's going to Ezra first and then Nehemiah or Nehemiah. So Ezra chapter 3, this is before the book of Psalms in your Christian scriptures. Reading from the King James, only changing a few words where it is necessary to the original, such as instead of Lord, we use the proper YHVH or Yahweh, and other changes similar to that, as we've explained through the many years. So Ezra chapter 3, and when the seventh month was come, now that's the seventh scriptural month, the seventh month was come and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then Yeshua, the son of Jehoiach, then stood up, and his brethren the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and built the altar of Yahweh of Israel to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of Yah. And they set the altar upon its basis, for fear was upon them. Fear was upon them because of the people of those countries. And they offered burnt offerings thereon unto Yahweh, even burnt offerings morning and evening, or it should be the other way around. They kept the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot, as it is written. Written where? Written in Leviticus 23, Vayikra 23. And they kept the feast, the daily burnt offerings by number. Now, of course, the offerings have been done away by the offering of Messiah, one time in the tree at Calvary, 2,000 years ago. Read the book of Hebrews concerning that. The daily burnt offerings by number according to the custom as the duty of every day required. That was somewhat of that of the added law, the law of Levitical law of sacrifices. The certificate of indebtedness that was against us, Colossians chapter 2. Afterward, they offered the continual burnt offering both of the new moons and of all the set feasts of Yahweh that were set apart or consecrated, and of everyone that willingly offered a freewill offering unto Yahweh, from the first day of the seventh month, that's the feast of Yom Teruah, commonly called Rosh Hashanah, from the first day of the seventh month, Yom Teruah, they began to offer burnt offerings unto Yahweh, but the foundation of the temple of Yahweh was not yet laid. Then in verse 11 of Ezra 3:11, and they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto Yahweh, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised Yahweh, because the foundation of the house of Yahweh was laid. Many of the priests and Levites and chiefs of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. This is going to be Nehemiah chapter 8, starting at verse 1 and then up to verse 5, from 1 and 2, and then verse 1, 2, 3, and then 5. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which is also synonymous with the book of the law of Yahweh, or the law of God, if we look in the book of Luke. So they brought the book of the law of Moses, which Yahweh had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, so men and women. upon the first day of the seventh month. There's Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets. Verse 3, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And then there's some names there. Let's skip to 5. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Ezra blessed Yahweh, the great Yahweh. All the people answered, Hallel, Hallel, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads, and they praised Yahweh with their faces to the ground. And then the names of those who were there, Yeshua, and so verse 8, so they read, the last part of verse 7 there, Peliah and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. Verse 8, they read in the book the law of Yah, so here it is synonymous, the law of Moses is synonymous with the law of Moses. Excuse me. Law of Yahweh is synonymous with the law of Moses. It says here the law of God in the King James. So those terms are the same thing. They read in the book of Yahweh distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is Kodesh unto Yahweh your mighty one, or Yahweh your Elohim. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. And then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them, for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is Kodesh unto Yahweh. Neither be sorry, for the joy of Yahweh is your strength. Let's go over to verse 14. And they found written in the law, which Yahweh had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. There's quite a study on that from Giving and Sharing. And that's available in audio on our website, yahwehyahweh.name, under Tabernacles, Feast of Tabernacles, about dwelling in booths. And that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, Go forth unto the mount, and fetch olive branches and pine branches, and myrtle branches and palm branches. So that's, once again, olive, pine, myrtle, and palm, and branches of thick trees, to make booths, as it is written. That's verse 8:15 of Nehemiah. And then 16 says, So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house. That was rather not as his own house, but at the place of gathering where they went up to keep the feast, and this pilgrimage feast. It was not their own house unless there was a case of somebody having to stay home and because of health. Every one upon the roof of his house, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of Yahweh, and in the street of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths, and said unto, and sat under the booths, for since the days of Yahusha, or it says here Yeshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. They hadn't dwelt in booths. So that's the day of Yeshua, the son of Nun. And there was very great gladness. Also day by day, from the first day of the feast unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of Yahweh. It says here, law of God in the King James. So that's the book of the law of Moses. He read in the book of the law of Yahweh, and they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day was a solemn assembly, according unto the manner. Thank you. And that's the book of Nehemiah there, talking about many feast days. Next chapter talks about a fast the very next day. They actually decided that they wanted to proclaim a fast assembled with sackcloths and fasting. And we've been reading the book of Ezra, Nehemiah, about the great feasts. And in Psalm 19, it talks about these feasts that are called statutes and judgments and commandments. The law of Yahweh is perfect, it says in Psalm 19. Reading again for the King James Version, only using the proper name of Yahweh. We're correcting where that was not corrected. By the way, an interlinear. Bill Sanford. That's it. Bill Sanford from Canada. I don't know how to tell you how to get a hold of him, but Google Bill Sanford, S-A-N-F-O-R-D, Hebrew Scripture Interlinear. Perhaps that might work. So Psalm 19, as we were off on a rabbit trail, but now back on the track. The heavens declare the esteem of Yahweh, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Then in verse 7, the Torah of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes, this is what we've been doing here, keeping the feasts. They are called statutes. They are actual statutes of the Ten Commandments, or extensions. The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. So all the statutes, not just up to a certain point in Scripture, not just up to Exodus 24:13, but all of his statutes are right. It doesn't just say some of them. And they rejoice the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean, and there's been many a Christian church from the pulpit that said that we don't need to have fear anymore, but we do. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The judgments, now these are the judgments found in Exodus 21, including the feast days, and many other extensions of the commandments having to do with our relationship with Yahweh and with our neighbor. The judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, by these warnings and these statutes and these encouragements, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Of course, in the evangelifish world, we're told that keeping of them is great bondage, but it says here keeping is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be upright. I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Yahweh, my strength and my redeemer. That was quite a prayer. There's also a good prayer there in Psalm 20. And verse 7 says, some trust in chariots. Yes, people trust too much in the chariots these days. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of Yahweh Almighty. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Yahweh, let the king hear us when we call. Yes, when we come into the king's presence, into Yahushua Messiah, or some say Yeshua, in King Yahushua Messiah's presence and before Almighty Yahweh, we need to bow down before him and to present ourselves before the king in deep awe, fear, and respect, not just walk in and start rattling off. You know, we'd address him, oh, Heavenly Father, or the Our Father who art in heaven, that prayer. That might be an example to set for us, but we don't just walk in and just start rattling off something off of the top of our head. No, there has to be deep reverence and respect. Now, I know you agree with that, or you wouldn't be listening. This speaker here, I am Stephan Yaw, and I'm a little bit unusual in that people don't usually say things like that anymore. We're too pop. There's pop Christianity and that kind of thing. I think we need to come out of that culture, the culture of the world, in the pop Christian culture, and come in to his culture in the scriptural way of doing things, which there's only one way to Yahweh. That's through the Messiah, through the Messiah Yahushua, who died for us on the tree at Calvary, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy He has saved us. Psalm 15, Yahweh, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall tabernacle in thy separated hill? He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Verse 3, he that backbites not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor. So that wasn't backbiting. That was only stating the facts that we don't want to be like that. Disrespectful. We don't want to be disrespectful. We want to be in awe at all times, for we are always in the presence of the King, whether we're behind the wheel and some weirdo is trying to run us off the road or show off or something. We still need to remember who we are. We are His sons and daughters. And verse 4, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear Yahweh, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. So we got to keep our word there. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. Now that was from Psalm 15, Isaiah 29, verse 17. Is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest? And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in Yahweh, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Kadosh One of Yisrael. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off, that make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. Therefore thus saith Yahweh, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Yaakov shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale, but when he seeth his children, the work of my hands, in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name, and sanctify the Kadosh One of Yaakov, and shall fear Yahweh of Yisrael. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. That was from Isaiah 29. 34:16 of Yeshayah. Seek you out of the book of Yahweh. Seek you at the book of Yahweh here, and read. No one of these prophecies shall fail. Talking about the day of Yahweh's vengeance in verse 8 there. Not one of these prophecies shall fail. None shall want her mate, for my mouth has commanded it, and his spirit it has gathered him, and he has cast the lot for them, and his hand has divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it forever, from generation to generation shall they dwell therein. Verse 1, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. 35:1. And verse 2, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The kavod, or the glory, or esteem of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the esteem of Yahweh, and the excellency, or the splendor of Yahweh, and the excellency of our Elohim. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your Elohim will come with vengeance, even Yahweh with a recompense, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it should be called the way of Kodesh, the way of being separate, the way of being pure in Yahweh's eyes. I don't like that holiness there that they translated from H-O-L-I. Means a pagan god. See C.J. Coster. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And verse 10, and the ransomed of Yahweh shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Now at the Feast of Tabernacles, in 2015, we went to five different feast sites as I change the subject here to a review of the Feast of Tabernacles. There were four or five different places we went to, and they all read the scriptures, group A, B, C, D, and E. Okay, group A in Oregon, there were 15 people or so who did the assigned Torah portion, kind of like a marathon, reading anywhere from Genesis to Deuteronomy, not necessarily pertaining to the feast days, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Sukkot, nor to the theme of the feast, the second coming of the true Messiah, nor of the past symbols of the children wandering through the desert, dwelling in booths. That subject was not necessarily mentioned either, but even more important, having our hearts and our minds and our attitude ready for the King of Kings, for we the bride must be perfect, have the tokens of our virginity, and have our lamps trimmed and ready, full of oil, full of the Spirit of Yahweh, to present ourselves, being baptized into His name. Yes, baptism was offered at most feast sites, but I'll talk about that later. Okay, now, group A, the opening prayer. None, if ever. There was not an opening prayer. So, as I was saying, when we come before Yahweh, we need to announce our presence and say, we are the people of Yahweh. We've come before Thee today, Heavenly Father. We come before You in awe, and we're in fear and dread of Your awesome name and great respect for Your sovereign word. The closing prayer at the feast, there was none each day. When the speaker was done, they stood up and ate food and drank, or they sat and ate and drank. Few, if any, prayer petitions were made. Other than that, though, the music and fellowship, well, there was no worship, there was no music, but the fellowship was mostly on secular topics, not on scriptural or religious subjects of any kind, or world concerns. We need to be concerned about the shootings going on in different schools in Oregon, and just so many causes out there that we need to be aware of and share with one another. You know, it says that He will place a mark on us if we sigh and cry for the abominations that are committed. Do you have that mark of Yahweh on your heart and on your forehead? Read Ezekiel chapter 9 and then Ezekiel 20 as well. The mark is of Yahweh is keeping His Sabbath days there in Ezekiel 20:25. Then group A had very good suppers, good oneg, but they didn't have an immersion. Maybe there was no need for it. Maybe they were all immersed, or as they say, mikveh. I use the word rakats, which means to immerse. So reviewing, group B was Torah to the tribes with Englishman or British Matthew Nolan preaching on the favorite priesthood versus Levitical priesthood versus Melchizedek priesthood dogma, the Torah to the Tribes group. Then in group C, manna from heaven with Dave Matthews, the events including daily paintball at 2 o'clock, even on high days and Sabbath days at 2 p.m., it was advertised they were doing the paintball stuff where you shoot each other with the paint guns and encouraging that kind of riot. And the services were only at 7 p.m., including the Sabbath, only Erev Shabbat at 7 o'clock after sunset. So going into the Sabbath day, they did have a service, but the daytime portion, it was not present as far as I know. There might have been some private activities going on in different Sukkots. No scheduled daytime service, so I believe that there should be two or three services throughout each day of the feast, especially high days, and that's my format that I really love. Love to get as close as I can to Yahweh as much as possible and get away from the environment, the secular environment, the routine mundane things that go on about our home, the bills and stuff like that, and the cares and things we don't care about. Let's get away from that and get released. Get out into a place that doesn't even resemble our own familiar surroundings. Get out in the out of doors, possibly, if you can do it. Sometimes you can't. And then Group C, after Sukkot, after the Feast of Tabernacles was open, it was over with 4 or 5 days later, the Sabbath service on the seventh day Sabbath was canceled because they had to rest up from all of that paintball recreation, maybe. But I did enjoy their marketplace and met some really great people and fellowshipped with them and with Deborah, who showed us Bill Sanford's Hebrew Torah interlinear. Then food was awesome and generous with manna from heaven. Yes, and they kept it at a place called Camp Tadmore. Okay, let's go over to Group D and then back to the Group D and E and then back to Scriptures. Group D was with a group out of Oregon. And the theme was not always on the feast due to the Jewish Torah readings, but there was a great teaching at times there, and sometimes even touching on the feast theme, especially on that last great day. And the water pouring ceremony, it was just there were prayers, there were good speakers, the presentations, especially that water pouring, and the music was the best. There were different groups who would come in, and very small groups, but they were good. The food was very abundant and very succulent. And there was a wide variety of teachings at the time, but not just on the theme feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, past, present, or future. There was fellowship, the young and the old, very young, quite a blessing. And some of the young people stood up and did teachings. The discipline was not overly managed, but just a smooth, well-balanced discipline, whereas some of the other groups lack that at times so far, but we're getting better, of course. Anyway, it was a wonderful place to be. There were cabins and tents, mostly Sukkoting in tents. And Yahweh was among us. Yah was among us. And I'm trying to take a shot at the name of the group here. I don't have that available, but it was with Dave and Leslie Klug, K-L-U-G. Not dictated by hierarchies, and we are free to use a variation in our calendar, even with the names, and a little bit of autonomy here and there, but there is always well-managed, disciplined authority there at the time that was not overbearing, just right. Also, there was a Group E that was, these groups were all within a couple of miles of each other. Group E was led by Lee and Sarah Ingram. And Lee probably has some kind of a Hebrew name. I don't know what that is. But anyway, Lee and Sarah Ingram led Group E. And although I did not monitor this event, that was up to a lake, it possibly included all the good elements of praise, worship, teaching, food, and fellowship. And here in the West, the weather maintains a good range of temperatures from 50 to 80 degrees with mostly clear or cloudy skies. There are a variety of scenic areas of Yah's creations. And most of the groups that I had the blessing of being there, being blessed by them, were within a few miles, and it made visiting easy from one feast site to another, very easy and stressless. This has been a review of the Feast of Tabernacles. We hope that you've enjoyed the feast wherever you were, even if you were one of those that had to keep it in town somewhere, back up in the city, Brooklyn or someplace, wherever it might be. I'm sorry about that, but maybe we can come to you someday. Maybe out in the park or someplace like that. Well, our website here I'd like to give you is yahweh.name, and the email address is my name, with the website after it. So it's Stephanyah, that's Stephanyah, Stephanyah at yavayahweh.name. Let us know if there's any technicalities or anything that didn't come out quite right there, or something you'd like to add, perhaps we could put up someday, or even go to the blog or the guest book and sign in there, or the email, and make your comments be known. Not to be completely 180 degrees opposite of what we say, not to try to pilfer any money with unsolicited emails asking for money for some cause or another that we can't check out on the being thousands of miles apart. Sorry, we can't have anyone who is of authority to discern whether these ministries are legitimate or not. So we can't just send cash or even books across the ocean without authenticating who the person is or who the ministry is there and whether they're a bona fide ministry. But that's the way it goes. We get a lot of these things and we wouldn't have the money or the resources, the time to get a hold of all these things that people ask for. But we can share the word, and as humble as we are, we're just going to do it in Yahweh's time and in His way and be His servants and wait on one another. And if somebody wants to help us, then that would be fine. And we thank you very much. May joy and gladness be in your step as you get a little lilt in your step. Walk in the Spirit and 24/7. Walk in the Spirit 24/7. Walk not in the ways of the flesh. Sometime that flesh seems to stem up there, but if you keep walking in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you resist HaSatan, he will flee from you. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. And in a positive way, we look up to the King of Kings, the Sovereign of Sovereigns, Yahweh himself, the mighty chief in charge of the entire universe, creator of all, actually through his Son, and we give him praise. All the messianic scriptures, all the New Testament Brit Kadashah are also for our instruction in righteousness. It says there in 2 Timothy 3:16, as we kind of flip over and finish up the podcast here. And it says, all scripture, now this is including new and older scriptures, all scripture is given by inspiration of Yahweh. It's not men's opinions, it's not the apostles' opinions, but inspiration of Yahweh, and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the person or the man of Yahweh may be perfect. Oh, some of the preachers said, no, we don't need to be perfect. We don't even need to try. So just give up. But it says that we may be perfect. Let us be perfect, even as our Heavenly Father is perfect. That the man of Yahweh may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. Shalom.